Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Lots of sports happening all weekend, all week since we last talked to you. This is show number 15.
Exciting times at show number 15, Sean Wally. I mean, you know, we are on fire as far as putting shows out. So much so, 104 degrees down here in Northern California.
Is that all?
With a little touch of humidity, I might add. Man, it's definitely a scorcher.
Well, thankfully up here in Eastern Washington, we're cooling down just a couple degrees. They're expecting 90, 91 the next couple days until we balloon back up to 96, 97 on Thursday.
Man, well, you wouldn't be able to tell that things were cooling down up there in the Pacific Northwest after watching that football contest a couple of days ago. I know it's preseason. But, man, those Seahawks look pretty good.
Yeah, they're bringing it full steam, full speed ahead, and things are looking good. They're staying fairly injury-free, which is, knock on wood, always a good thing. And, yeah, 40-10 over the Denver Broncos, and we'll definitely get into that big time later with our guest number two tonight, former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson joining the show to break down the Denver Bronco matchup with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's going to be great to hear his take and his perspective. I know that he was blowing everything up on Twitter, and so, you know, I look forward to sitting down and asking him a few questions on what he thinks Denver needs to do to get sharp. So, yeah, Nick Ferguson, guest number two on the show.
Well, down in your neck of the woods in Oakland, the Raiders took one on the chin in the Bayou. And the Big Easy was not very easy for the Raiders, falling 28-20 to the Saints.
Yeah, but it was very easy for one Drew Brees, you know, throwing over 200 yards in the first half. And, you know, the New Orleans Saints scoring 17 points in the first quarter. That's not a recipe for success if you're Dennis Allen and, you know, you want to build the confidence of, you know, the Oakland Raiders. Man, 28-20, the score definitely looked closer than the game actually was.
Yeah, it was definitely a tale of two halves. In the Superdome, you had the Saints race out to a quick lead in the first half and score almost at will. And poor Matt Flynn at quarterback for the Raiders was getting sacked five times in the first half, and that is not a recipe for success if you're a member of the Raider Nation.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, if you're talking about a recipe for success, how about just keeping your quarterback standing and hopefully not getting injured? You know, because if the Raiders can do that, that offensive line can do that, I think there's going to be, you know, a few more bright spots because, you know, an upright Matt Flynn is a lot better than him being on his back or actually being out for 4 to 6 weeks due to some type of an injury because the offensive line can't block.
And we always have to bring it up every week, it seems like, on the Double here with the Double S Express. Injuries in the NFL, and it just seems that with social media and how you can instantly put pictures and tweets and just get everything online instantaneously, maybe it just seems like more people are getting catastrophic injuries to legs, knees. Now, did you see Dustin Keller over the weekend get his knee just blown up?
Yeah, you know, and that, wow, that hit that he took to his knee, you know, I there's no explanation for that kind of a hit that he took. And, you know, I know that the NFL's trying to, you know, soften things up, or actually I shouldn't say soften things up, but make it a safer game. And so when they're saying that you can't lead with your helmet, you know, and can't have helmet-to-helmet contact, you know, and some of these hits look like good hits when they're upper body hits, and when these players are getting fined because of that, you know, they have no other choice but to start going low. And, you know, what football players are taught from day one is that the low man wins. And that just looked like it was such a bad hit, though, the way, you know, the way that Keller went down. I mean, you know, you never want to see those types of things.
I can't even imagine. From the reports I've heard, it seems like he tore every ligament that attaches to his knee, not just the MCL, not just the PCL, or not the ACL that we hear so much about. All three of them shattered.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how long he's supposed to be out for, but you know, we're wishing him a speedy recovery. Definitely. I mean, you never want to see these guys getting hurt. You know, and at the same time, you look on the other side of the pendulum, you know, you're looking at RG3, who's, you know, chomping at the bit to play. And, you know, these players walk a fine line. You know, when you get hurt, you know, you want to get back as fast as you can, you know, because you don't, for one, you don't like being away from the game. But the other thing is that, you know, it seems like the loyalty factor in professional sports has kind of gone by the wayside, Sean Wally. What I mean by that is, again, you're looking at RG3. He campaigns himself and wanting to play and wanting to be that person into the game. Why? You know, well, because, you know, the Washington Redskins, after they picked RG3 as a quarterback, they go and they get Cousins from Michigan State, who's no slouch. And so now he feels like he's, you know, RG3, meaning he feels like because he's injured that he has to come back because he wants his team to do well, but he wants to do well with the team. And if there's any inkling that team can play without them or without him, then, you know, he's just another quarterback. And so, you know, there's both sides that are being played. So there's the ones that are getting injured and the ones that are coming off of injuries. But either way, man, it sounds like there's a lot of people hurt.
Yeah, they're trying to, like you mentioned, get away from the blows to the head and the possible concussion issues. And so now a lot of the defenders and the defender that hit Keller even said, "I go low. I hit low." He wasn't necessarily gunning for the knee, but it just so happened you put that force in motion, you hit where he did, leg was planted, end of story.
Yeah, well, you know, you're looking at Keller, who's like 6'5", 265 pounds, the young man who hit him, I can't remember his name right now, Sean Wally, but he's, you know, all of 5'11", you know, so he's going to use leverage to go down low to actually hit him, to tackle him, because, you know, he has to bring him down in any way, shape, or form.
Now, you already mentioned the Seattle Seahawks doing well over the weekend, and one guy we do need to mention who had a breakout game is University of Washington product and Lakes High School product, Jermaine Kearse, and he returned his first ever kick at any level other than high school for a 107-yard touchdown. He also had a touchdown reception, and all signs are pointing to Kearse making the Seahawk roster.
Yeah, you have to be very excited for Jermaine Kearse because, you know, here's a young man that was undrafted, as you had mentioned, and, you know, he is just trying to make this football club. And, you know, for him to say, "Hey, you know, put me in special teams, whatever it is that you need me to do, coach, I'll do." And to have that shining moment to where he runs a kickoff return back 107 yards, I mean, that is incredible. And it's not like he's a slouch, you know. He comes from the Pac-12. And, of course, the top teams are always talked about. And the University of Washington hasn't had that type of publicity in a while, but they have some great athletes, and you can see Jermaine Kearse is going to be a gem for the Seattle Seahawks.
You know, Sean, it's got to be making our first guest cringe hearing us talk about a former Husky from the University of Washington. Let's go out to the phone line. Welcome in David Massey, former Oregon Duck, I might add. David, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Dave, welcome to the show, man. This is your second time on the double with the Double S Express.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, fellas. I always look forward to getting together with, you know, two old friends of mine and, you know, just talking sports.
Well, man, well, let's get right to it, man. Let's talk about your Oregon Ducks. Ranked number 3 in the preseason polls, actually number 2, I believe, in the AP polls. Man, I mean, are they as good as advertised?
I think they're better than advertised, actually. And I know some people may laugh out there, especially, you know, the SEC fans. But I think if you look at you know, the caliber of athletes that we have now. And then, of course, they'll still be running the same up-tempo offense that Chip Kelly brought in. And then on the defense side of the ball, you know, Eric Armstead. And, you know, we got a lot of studs out there a lot of people don't even know about yet. So I'm looking forward to this season getting started.
So you had mentioned that, you know, having these, you know, these thoroughbred types of athletes, quarterback-wise. So how are the Oregon Ducks looking this year as far as quarterback-wise? I know that there's a strong senior, Dustin Haynes. How is Dustin looking?
Well, Dustin, from what I hear, he's looking good, but as far as quarterback, you know, of course, you know, Marcus Mariota, he's still, you know, the what I think probably the number one or two quarterback in the country.
Wow. Okay. And so Marcus, I believe he's from Hawaii, am I correct?
Oh yeah. He's from Hawaii, and the funny thing is, I have been hearing about him for years, even before he got to Oregon, because you know, a couple of my old teammates, they're from Hawaii and they still live there, and they've been telling me, "D, you got to see this guy; he's a real deal." And then I think last year when he won the starting job, you know, there's a lot of people that were coming to me like, you know, how could they give this kid? He's untested, and you know, how are they going to make him the starter? And I kept telling him, you know, I have it on good authority from people that I trust that he's the real deal. And I think that he showed everybody last year that he is the real deal. And I think that if we can get him to stay at Oregon for, you know, three, maybe hopefully 4 years, I can easily see him shattering every single record that you know, as far as quarterbacks go at Oregon right now.
Wow.
David, do you see any teams in the Pac-12 gunning for, of course, they're all gunning for the top spot, but do you see any that can actually challenge Oregon?
Well, of course, you know, there's always Stanford. I mean, you know, Stanford, they have always had a quality program offensively and defensively, and they're one of the few teams in the Pac-12 that they don't really play so much of a speed game. They play a smash-mouth power game, and that's one thing that they've always done. So they're always big up front, you know, a lot of 300-pounders on both offense and defense, and they really get after you. And you know, and that's part of the reason why we lost them last year. I was actually down at that game, sitting in the end zone watching that game, and I kind of had a feeling that the game wasn't going to go our way, just, you know, the longer the game went on and just the way Stanford looked out there. So, of course, Stanford, and then, you know, SC, they're always going to be SC, even though they've had a couple of down years. They always get a lot of stud athletes out there, so you can never count them out.
David, with the fines that were laid on the University of Oregon, and not just there, but we have to throw in the Miamis of the world, the Cam Newtons of the world, USC, even up in Washington in the 90s. Is it possible to play by the rules and win in college football?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely possible to play by the rules, and it's safe to say that I think most teams are playing by the rules. And also, one thing that I like to point out, because, you know, I have this debate back and forth with a lot of football fans, and they try and, you know, they say that, you know, we got away with one, we got a slap on the wrist, and it's all about the Nike money. But one thing one question I always pose to people is, with our situation, we were accused of paying Willie Lyles, a recruiting service, you know, too much money for basically, you know, poor service. And the biggest thing that you notice is that you never heard about any University of Oregon players actually receiving money. And so I think that there's a big discrepancy, because I've actually heard people try to compare us to what happened at Ohio State and what happened, you know, at Miami and all these different schools. And that's one question I always ask them. It's like, hey, tell me what player at Oregon was accused of receiving money or cars or anything. And like I said, and they can't tell me. So, I mean, like I said, I think it's definitely, you know, you can play by the rules. And unfortunately, you know, the guys that do end up kind of getting caught up in taking some extra benefits, you know, that's it's an unfortunate situation, and it's been going on since college football started, and it's something that I don't think will ever actually go away. But I think it's something that I would say the majority of schools are doing. They're kind of playing by the rules. And the other thing is, you can't really control what boosters do, you know, away from the football program. And so, unfortunately, that's really where the focus needs to be at, is the boosters, as well as some of these agents that are on campus.
For those of you just tuning in, we have David Massey filling in today as the Double S Express correspondent, if you will. So, David, tell me, you know, because we're talking about, you know, playing by the rules, you know, of course we have you know, Johnny Manziel, and, you know, a.k.a. Johnny Football, in the media every single day. How do you feel about players, collegiate players getting paid?
I mean, I think that they should definitely be compensated more than just your basic scholarship check. And I say that, you know, I say that as a former player, but also as someone that has coached kids, and also somebody that, you know, I was blessed enough to where, you know, even though I was on scholarship, you know, my mother, you know, she had enough money to where she could send me a couple hundred bucks every month, you know, but at the same time, I know there's a lot of kids out there who are some superstar athletes, but their parents may not even be in a situation to contribute or help them out at all. And so what most people don't realize is that your scholarship check really doesn't go that far, and then on top of it, you can't hold a job. And so I think that it's unfortunate that the schools and the NCAA are making millions, and then it's illegal for the players to make, you know, a few thousand dollars. So I think the system in general is just broken.
Yeah, you know, and you hit the nail right on the head. I believe that at some point in the next couple of years or so, there's going to be a change, because if you have the NCAA that is trying to, you know, slap teams or slap institutions on the wrist for these types of actions, but yet you have a website that's up and, you know, you're selling jerseys on this same person, you know, it seems very hypocritical. And so at some point, you know, there's going to have to be a decision made. And I believe that, you know, these collegiate athletes at some point will start getting paid. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I know that, you know, a really good friend of mine, which, you know, I know you guys will hate to hear the name, but Kenny Wheaton, he actually has a T-shirt that he doesn't get a dime from. You know, and he's a former player even, and so there's a T-shirt for Kenny Wheaton to catch, and it's actually a silhouette of him making the catch against UW. And so, you know, the University of Oregon, I know for a fact they're making money on that, but I know he doesn't get a dime. Same thing, you know, when I go down to Austin Stadium, I see a lot of the Anthony Thomas jerseys, and of course they can't put his name on the back, but at the same time, when you see all these jerseys, I mean, you know why they're wearing the jerseys, and my thing has always been, not one person buys a football ticket to go watch a coach sit on the sidelines and call plays with a clipboard. You know, nobody buys a ticket to go see the athletic director sit up in the skybox with all the big wigs. And so, so honestly, for me, I think it's a crime that everybody's basically kind of getting a piece of the pie except for the athlete. And of course, there's always going to be people say, where are you getting the free education? And I can tell you firsthand that, yeah, you're getting your education paid for, but it's not free, because at the end of the day, you know, we wake up Sunday mornings, you know, I mean, beat up head to toe, and it affects us not just in college, but, you know, much, much later in life. I'm 42 years old, but I feel like I'm 62 some mornings.
Right.
David, you played for the University of Oregon from 90 to 93. What are your fondest memories of being on that football team?
Oh, man. Most of those fond memories I can't even talk about on the radio. But, you know, but I would just say, I used to love the rivalry that we had with the Washington schools, with UW and with Wazoo. You know, I was really fortunate to be able to play against, you know, Drew Bledsoe and Billy Joe Hobart and Mark Brunell and guys like that. So I used to really get up for those games. And in fact, probably for me, my fondest memory of all would have to be my junior year. We played up at Wazoo, and it was snowing and cold, and those people were dumping cold soda on us as we were coming out of the tunnel. And a fight actually broke out in that game, and it was a bench-clearing brawl because there was that much bad blood and animosity between the two teams. But at the same time, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that used to get me going. It's like, if there's somebody in the stands talking trash to me, or somebody on the field talking trash, that actually motivates me. So, you know, like I said, I would have to say, you know, those rivalries against UW and Wazoo.
Do you prefer when Oregon beats the Huskies, the Cougars, or is it the Beavers being the in-state rival?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. Well, me myself personally, I like beating, you know, the Washington schools, but at the same time, I actually have a lot of friends and even ex-high school teammates that played at Oregon State, and so it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, it's like, you know, if we lose to Oregon State, you know, these guys, they come out of the woodwork. I mean, the guys that I haven't heard from in years, But if somehow, if Oregon State, if they beat us, they will be on my Facebook. They will be calling my house. They'll be sending me text messages. And ironically, one of my really, really good friends from high school, he played linebacker at Oregon State, and he lives three blocks away from me. And so we see each other all the time in passing, and he always has his Oregon State gear, and I have all my Oregon gear. And so we talk trash back and forth. So for me, I mean, just for me, I would say beating the Washington schools, you know, it means a lot more to me. And honestly, and I know I'll offend some Oregon State fans out there, but we, as an Oregon grad, we never really looked at the rivalry the same way that they did.
For those of you just tuning in, David Massey, Double S Express correspondent. Hey, David, let's shift some gears here. You know, turning to Major League Baseball, and I know that you've been plugged in a little bit as far as what's been going on in New York. Man, Alex Rodriguez last night getting hit by a pitch, and the result was he actually hitting a home run out in retaliation. That's the best way to get back at somebody. But what are your thoughts here on this whole PED thing, steroids, you know, in professional sports?
Well, I mean, one thing as far as baseball goes, and this is actually something that has bothered me for quite a while now. You hear a lot of people who they call themselves baseball purists, and they can't believe that the game has gone the way it is, and you should put an asterisk by that guy, and this guy can't be in the Hall of Fame. And honestly, and part of me wants to tell them, hey, don't blame the player, blame the league, because it's just as simple as in football. Like in football, it's very hard for guys to get away with, you know, not being able to pass some drug tests. So with baseball, you know, I know that they have the players' union and they have to kind of negotiate as far as what they can and can't test for and random testing and things like that. And so in situations like, you know, Alex Rodriguez and these guys, it's like if there's any speculation that they may be using performance enhancing drugs, you know, drug testing, if they fail a drug test, then you suspend them or you fine them or whatever. But, you know, in the case of A-Rod, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of shocked that he has had the suspension, levied against him. And from what I've heard, he never failed a drug test. And so, you know, for me, that's the only thing that kind of bothers me about that, the way Major League Baseball is kind of doing things, is that they're suspending guys for being affiliated with somebody, or they're suspending guys without them actually failing a drug test. And at least in the other, you know, big two sports, basketball and football, you at least have to fail a drug test before they'll suspend you. They can't just suspend you on the word of somebody else.
Yeah, you know, with A-Rod, you know, of course there was, you know, him coming out and admitting back in, I believe, the mid-2000s that he had used some performance enhancements or some form of a steroid, even though he didn't test for it. You know, that kind of put him behind the eight ball a little bit. But, you know, here you have 13 guys that are on this list. We'll just call it the list. All of them have admitted to, except for A-Rod. So there's kind of that, you know, there's that huge question mark on, okay, why is it that you're not admitting to something? And are you going to drag this out and, you know, have all your dirty laundry put out there? Are you that stubborn? You know, what do you think? You know, I'm thinking that A-Rod's in this for personal gain. You know, he's in this to actually put a few more home runs on, you know, on the board, you know, kind of move himself up, you know, in the ranks. And before he gets caught, you know, hey, at least I moved myself from fifth all time to third all time. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's all about personal gain. I mean, you know, and I'll say that dating all the way back to, you know, when he was up with the Mariners, and he signed that contract with Texas, and then of course going to New York. And I mean, I remember a lot of people who to this day are still angry at him about his contract. And I mean, clearly, you know, he's driven by money, as all of us are, you know. And so it's like if you have the ability to make that kind of money for as long as you can, and you know, like I said, if you're suspected of doing something wrong, if they can't necessarily prove it, or if they suspend you and you can appeal the suspension and continue your playing, get paid, you know, honestly, I think it's something that all of us, if we were in his exact same situation, we'd probably end up fighting just as hard, because at the end of the day, it's how you feed your families, how you pay your bills, and you know, of course, I mean, none of us are making that kind of money, but like I said, it's like, you know, it's all about money, as with any sport.
You know, David, it's amazing that Alex Rodriguez, being the tremendous baseball athlete he was, all growing up through high school, being the number one pick of the Seattle Mariners, dragging that out thanks to his agent and his family, and signing at the very last moment for, at the time, was a record $1.3 million for an 18-year-old kid that had never played pro ball, that he still thought, going to Texas, he had to do more. He said previously that he didn't start using anything until that huge contract in Texas. He thought it would help him live up to it. And here's the guy that, you know, is a fabulous shortstop, third baseman, can hit the ball a mile, and he still doesn't think he's good enough in some aspects that led him to try some sort of PED.
And you know, and I think with A-Rod, you know, and you remember the whole steroid era. You had, you know, of course, Barry Bonds, and you had McGuire and Sammy Sosa, and all these guys. And I think a lot of it is it's money driven, it's ego driven, it's status. And I think with A-Rod, I think that he saw some of the notoriety that these guys were getting for spending homers out of the park, and he wanted a piece of the pie. And I think what ends up happening is, you know, when you live in that kind of fishbowl, if you have one or two great seasons, people, they expect you to live up to that every season. And so, you know, and I truly believe that that's where a lot of that came from, is that, you know, it's all about wanting to get your name in the record books and getting a huge contract and getting the status of hitting a lot of home runs and making big plays. But I think what most people don't realize is, once you go down that road, you know, if you're using performance-enhancing drugs and it's helping your game, then the likelihood of you actually going off of them and still being successful is slim. And so I think that's what ends up happening, is that, you know, once guys kind of get into it, it's a hard track to get off of. And really, when you think about it, that's with any drug, you know, any type of pain medicine, any type of recreational drug. Once you get on that path, it's really hard to try and, you know, get consistent and play and go back to normal.
David Massey, thanks so much for your time joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. We're going to anoint you our Oregon Duck insider as we get into college football here in 2013.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Anytime. Hey, thanks. Give me a call. I love talking football.
Hey, and next time you're on, we're going to definitely have you talk about your favorite NFL football team, the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, I tell you, the Raider Nation is everywhere.
Oh yeah! As a matter of fact, I'll be down there for the Oakland and Philly game, so we'll have to get together.
Oh, definitely, man. Look forward to seeing you, man.
All righty.
Thanks, David.
All righty.
There goes David Massey, our first guest here tonight, show number 15 on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean, what is coming up next?
Well, we have guest number two coming up, Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos DB. It should be a great conversation, Mr. Wally, especially since there was a game played a couple of days ago, as we had mentioned. So when we come back again, Nick Ferguson, keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio. Looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 15, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and it is time to bring in big time guest number two. Let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in former NFL safety Nick Ferguson. Nick, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, law firm of Sean and Sean.
Oh, man, hey, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, Nick. Hey, let's get right into it, man. I know that there was a game that you had strong interest in a couple of nights ago, and that was the Broncos versus the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Man. So what were your thoughts on how Peyton Manning did and how the first half went, actually?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the preseason for what it was, you want your first team to go out there and you want them to execute. I mean, he found Jarvis Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and his new weapon, Wes Walker, on a couple of passes. But other than that, I mean, I wasn't too impressed. And we can sit here and say, well, hey, it's just the preseason. It really doesn't make a difference. You don't want to peak in August, you want to peak in January, but still at the same time, you want your guys to go out there and you want to compete. And after this preseason is over, you want to be able to hang your hat on something going into the first game of the season against Baltimore. And for me, the problem with this team is not Peyton Manning, it's not the wide receivers, and I think everyone would agree, even you guys, it's the offensive line. With so many injuries happening at this particular time across the board, the last thing Peyton Manning needs, a guy with four neck surgeries, is deficiencies on the offensive line where now he's now scrambling for his life.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the blocking on the offensive line. That seems to be the sentiment actually throughout the AFC West, if you look at it. But you have Manny Ramirez at center. He's actually the anchor there. What are some of the things that, you know, that the Broncos are doing actually to shore that up?
The only thing they can do at this time, you know, you bring guys in who they don't have enough time to gel and have that chemistry. And anyone who's played football, especially in the offensive line, know that you need that chemistry on the offensive line, because when things get thick and get hot, you want to have adequate communication so you don't have free rushes. And the only thing they can do at this time is just try to have a patchwork offensive line until you guys start to get healthy. But that's about it. Maybe you bring in an extra tight end to help solidify protection for Peyton Manning. And, I mean, we've all come to know Peyton Manning as being a guy that sits in a shotgun. So we expect a lot of quick passes and a lot of shotgun formation.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, what Peyton Manning did that first half was something, you know, that was extraordinary to me, because the Seahawks defense is actually a hawking defense, as we all got a chance to see. Peyton was actually getting the ball out quite well, and they were moving the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, coming into the game, it was built as being a possible Super Bowl preview, and the one thing that I was looking for, was really looking forward to see how the wide receivers actually competed against those big, long, rangy corners from the Seattle Seahawks. And we saw Brandon Browner, who was a former teammate of mine with the Denver Broncos, make a couple plays against his old team. And, yeah, I mean, Peyton moved the ball up and down the field, but when you needed to get the ball in the end zone, another problem that this team had late in the season last year, they were not able to do that. I mean, once again, credit, and you got to take your hat off to Seattle. They made some plays, especially causing some fumbles, and the Broncos helped him out, giving us a couple of balls away.
Former NFL safety Nick Ferguson joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Nick, let's go back to when you starred at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
What were some of the biggest hurdles and the biggest transitions you had to make from the college game moving into the pros?
Well, I mean, you hear guys talk about it all the time. The pace of the game is so much faster. And it's not just the speed on the field, but the pace in the sense of how quick you have to adjust, how quickly you have to get over a play. I mean, God beats you one play, you have to put it out of the back of your mind and move on to the next play, and also how fast the plays come in. If you've ever seen an NFL playbook, it's pretty thick. And from week to week, depending on the opponent, your schemes and adjustments might change. So that's the biggest hurdle for a lot of guys, and sometimes why guys are not able to make that transition, or they have to wait to that second year when they've been in the system long enough. Now they can say, well, I've gelled with the system, I know the terminology, now I know what I'm doing. But that's normally the problem or the biggest transition between going from college to the pros.
What, looking back on your career, whether it be college or the NFL, what do you consider your shining moment in football?
Wow, that's a great question. I would have to say my shining moment would be at the 2005 season. And anyone who remembers that 2005 season for the Denver Broncos, we were about 24 hours away from going to the Super Bowl. And every kid dreams about playing in the biggest game of his life, whether it's the NBA Finals or it's the Super Bowl. So we had a great run that year. And the fact that we beat the Patriots twice, which is unheard of. Normally a team doesn't beat a Patriots-led team like Tom Brady twice in one season. We beat them twice. And the second time, as we were awaiting to play, the Colts after that, we beat them convincingly at home. And it was one of those games that I always will go back to and remember, because I remember, and you guys might remember, there's a play where I rush off the right side of the defense, and Brady is trying to slide to his right to move away from it. He throws a pick to Chan Baylor, who runs it back almost 100 yards, and then Ben Watson comes out of nowhere. No one sees him, and he pushes Chan Baylor out of bounds. Those are the memories that I have and I hold on to the most. So, yeah, I would never forget that, and that's why I love the Denver Broncos fans and the city itself.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Nick Ferguson, former safety of the Denver Broncos, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Nick, tell the listeners here, some of the things that you're doing these days. I believe you're doing some stuff with Georgia Tech Radio and both Mile High Sports. So tell us the duties.
Every Monday I do a segment on Mile High, and sometimes it's a little spontaneous, especially with breaking news happening in the NFL all the time. So I could be on Friday or I can be on Tuesday. But the regular days that I'm on doing my segment is every Monday about 4:20 Denver time, and also Georgia Tech IMG Sports Network. I've been doing that for the past three seasons, doing pregame and postgame for Georgia Tech, which Georgia Tech fans, if any are listening, should be a most exciting year for Paul Johnson and the Yellow Jackets, so tune in for that.
Now, you mentioned Coach Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech. Who are some of the bright players that you see that are going to do some damage here for Georgia Tech?
Well, some guys to keep your eye on is Jeremiah Tatu. I think with Ter Roof coming in, former Georgia Tech guy himself, and instilling some pride and some physicality in that defense, you can expect to see him show up a lot. And Paul Johnson spent this entire offseason, just like some defensive coordinators in the NFL, studying that pistol offense, and he got a chance to get with the San Francisco 49ers coaches. So you'll see a lot of those pistol formations and read options formation like Chip Kelly would run and the Georgia Tech offense. And Vad Lee, very impressive quarterback. He came in last year for Tevin Washington, and he really shows some glimpses that he can be a great quarterback. And I think if we view him in the same light, not putting him on the same page as a Colin Kaepernick, but the guy has the skills, like a Colin Kaepernick, to really make that Georgia Tech offense for us. So we're excited down in Atlanta to see what Georgia Tech is going to do in the ACC this year.
Nick, you must have a lot of frequent flyer miles going back and forth from Mile High in Atlanta, huh?
Well, Yeah, and I would have to say, you know, my wife, luckily I'm married to a wonderful woman who allows me to do those type of things. So if anyone listening, hey, make sure you prepare yourself for your post-game career, but most importantly, make sure you marry the right woman. So I'm blessed in all facets of my life, and I love what I'm doing now.
Great words there from former safety at Georgia Tech and for the Denver Broncos and a couple other NFL teams, Houston Texans to name a few. Nick, when you made your transition to get your start into broadcasting, was there anything in that that kind of surprised you or shocked you a little bit that maybe you weren't sure went on into the world of broadcasting and football?
Well, to be totally honest, I mean, there were several people in the media field that thought I would be good for it, Eric Goodman being one of those individuals who's now with Mile High, 1510 AM Mile High Sports. But the thing that shocked me the most is the preparation that goes into it. With football, you have your own personal preparations, and the coaches put everything together for you. But now being in the media, you have to go out and do your own research. You're responsible for knowing as much information about the sport that you're covering. And that is sometimes the shocking thing because, as you guys know, there's a lot of players that jump into the industry thinking, okay, listen, I played the sport, so I know everything about it. But it's different on the media side opposed to being a player. So the way I watch games now, they're totally different than I watch them as a player. There's more detailed information that I have to pay attention to, certain tackles. How is the guy kicking back with the right step? Is he staying square? Running backs, is he an explosive back? Or he's the type of back that, you know, he can only work on one side of the field. And oddly enough, you do have certain guys who only can have that mind frame or whatever. But there's a lot more that you have to worry about covering both college and the pro game that you just really didn't have to when you were a player. So that's one of the biggest things.
Nick Ferguson, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Nick, you're saying, you know, just having to understand all the ins and outs of actually the collegiate game and the pro game. Do you find yourself, especially going back to Georgia Tech, do you find yourself actually on the field and doing a little bit of coaching while you're doing the analysis part?
You know, that's the hard part because, you know, college coaches, you know, that's what they're hired to do, to coach the young guys. And sometimes you don't want to step on any of the coaches' toes, but you might see a couple of things that you can help a guy out with. So before pregame or during pregame warm-ups, I might talk to a guy, hey, listen, you're facing this type of running back, so be careful of this. He's got a jump cut. He's got a stiff arm. Or he's one of those guys who, like a rhino, he's a battering ram, he just likes to get downhill. Other than that, I wait to maybe during the week when I catch the guys coming off the field, I can pull them to the side and just kind of talk to them, trying to give them a little bit of my knowledge. Once again, I don't want that coach to feel as though I'm stepping on his toes or, you know, there's a little job security issue. Because we're all in the same boat together. We want to see the kids perform well and win some games.
Nick, in the NFL right now, who are your top safeties? Who are your favorite safeties that you think are doing the best and that you like their game?
Well, even though the first two guys are, you know, a little long in the tooth and they've been in the game for a long time, but, you know, they've been doing it the right way both on and off the field. You can't go wrong with Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Eric Berry in Kansas City, he's definitely a young player who, I mean, we can expect for him to be and a couple of Pro Bowls for a lot of years to come. But there's a guy in Houston. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch him, DJ Swellinger. And I know he's getting a lot of flack right now because of the hit on Dustin Keller, but this is a guy who has all the attributes. I mean, he's a rangy guy. He's about 6 feet, 217 pounds, and he's not afraid to come down in the box and mix it up with anyone, whether it's an offensive lineman or a running back. And one thing I like about him, just tackling, you know, you guys have seen a lot of games like I've seen over the past couple of years, and that seemed like that's one of the fundamentals that somehow guys have forgot to do, to tackle. It's one of the basic fundamentals in the game of football is running, tackling, scoring touchdowns. But I like this young kid, and I think in a couple of years, we're going to start to hear about him in multiple Pro Bowls. You can count on it.
Awesome words of safeties that are doing it right in the NFL and who to look forward up and coming in the NFL. Nick Ferguson, thanks so much for your time tonight. And before I let you go, you know, if you make it out to Oakland, Sean Boyd will be out there working for CBS and the TV networks. So when Denver invades Oakland, if you make it out there, you guys definitely should meet up.
Definitely.
Well, I tell you what, if I am out in Denver at that time, I would definitely look him up for sure.
Yeah, you know, feel free, or I'll come and find you one way or the other. I mean, I know you have those ties down there in ACC in Atlanta, and, man, you know, I remember driving, you know, by that stadium just right off the freeway, one of the most beautiful stadiums in the country. Of course, second to the college that I went to, Auburn University, Jordan-Hare Stadium. but man, we got a lot to talk about, man.
we do. And what we'll do, we'll stay in contact via Twitter, and I'll let you know once I check my schedule where I'm going to be out there for the game. But we definitely have to connect.
All right. That sounds good.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Former NFL safety Nick Ferguson, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate your time.
Anytime, fellas. Anytime.
All right. Take care, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Nick Ferguson, longtime 10-year NFL veteran with three different teams, but mainly the Denver Broncos. A great interview, fabulous insight on college football, the NFL game, and of course, behind the scenes in broadcasting.
Yeah, you know, I was more intrigued on what he was saying as far as the broadcasting was concerned. Of course, you know, on the preparation, because, you know, people don't know. It takes a lot of preparation to actually, you know, put together your thoughts and how to, you know, put them into order. And so, you know, for him to say those things, you know, it was definitely a treat, you know, and him being a former player as well, you know, he understands, you know, how tough it is, you know, both on the football field and off. So, you know, I got to give my, you know, tip my hat off to him, even though, you know, he's Georgia Tech, I'm Auburn, he's Denver, I'm Oakland. You know, it's all good, man.
Oil and water?
But, yeah, man, awesome interview with Nick Ferguson.
Two great interviews tonight. We had David Massey on talking all things, but, of course, Oregon Duck sports, Oregon Duck football mainly.
And yeah.
Just had Nick Ferguson on talking a lot of things, former safety for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and having David Massey on, you know, it's always a treat having him on, and just the plethora of knowledge that he has for not just for, you know, Oregon football or all things Oregon. He has a knowledge of sports in general, which is why I love having him on the show, you know, because it gives that added perspective on things, you know. And so, you know, I know that he is definitely eyeing what's going on in the Pac-12, and, you know, of course, I believe that the Oregon Ducks are definitely going to come out and take care of business, especially at the beginning of the season. But for you and for myself, you know, of course, I have ties at the University of Oregon. My son graduating from there and playing football for the Oregon Ducks. But for you and me growing up in Seattle, you know, you always have to hope that the University of Washington can do something. But, man, those Oregon Ducks are going to be dynamic.
Yeah, they've been on top for a long time, and there's not exactly too many wrinkles in that armor.
No, not at all. I mean, they just seem to keep reloading. And, of course, after Chip Kelly leaves and goes, and he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you think that there would be some type of a downslide, if you will, with the Oregon Ducks. They just keep reloading, have the quarterbacks falling into place. Of course, Mark Helfrich, the new head coach and former offensive coordinator for the Ducks. Things are just going to keep rolling. The offense is going to look the same. It's going to be a track meet week in and week out. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can win that national championship this year.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, and we'll be back right after this to wrap up the show and talk about what's coming up in the next week in sports.
my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd wrapping up show number 15.
Yeah, it was a great show. Of course, we had mentioned just before going into break, having David Massey on the show and talking all things sports for us, our On the Double correspondent. And we talked, you know, about A-Rod. We talked about the Oregon Ducks. We talked about, you know, money in college football. And those were great conversations, Sean Wally.
Absolutely. A lot of good insight from former Oregon Duck David Massey and, of course, Nick Ferguson playing for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and, of course, the NFL's Denver Broncos, New York Jets, and Houston Texans, and now works in the broadcasting field.
Yeah, you know, and it was great getting a chance to talk with Nick and you know, talking about the broadcasting and talking about his playing days, and you know that – you know, his heart definitely lies with the Denver Broncos. And, you know, when he was explaining that they were that close to getting, you know, to the Holy Grail, the Super Bowl, I mean, man, all that effort. You think about all that time, all that energy that you put in to playing this great game of football. And, you know, it comes down to that game of inches. You know, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, we didn't get a chance to ask him, but, you know, if there was something that he could have done different or he felt that he could have done different, I'm sure that – you know, he would tell us, yeah.
And so what do we got coming up this week in sports? Sean Boyd, in your neck of the woods, I believe at O.co right now as we speak, the Seattle Mariners taking on the Oakland Athletics for the final time in 2013 down in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, this is game number one of the three-game series. And, you know, right now it's 0-0 at O.co. Neither team getting on the board. Both teams have two hits. You got Harang on the mound for the Mariners and Parker for the Oakland A's. And, you know, if Oakland were to get one, they would definitely have to do it tonight because, you know, these next pitchers that are coming in, they are stealth for the Seattle Mariners. Even though the Oakland A's are a half game out of Texas, and, man, it looks like if the Oakland A's win tonight, they would remain a half game out. The Texas Rangers are putting a whooping on the Houston Astros, 15-5 right now. So, you know, hope that the Oakland A's can stand pat. But these next 2 days, the Mariners bring in sure firepower on the mound.
Yeah, if the A's are going to get one, tonight's the night because Aaron Harang has been trouble to watch. And he had a complete game or two here and there, but in between, it's been just very, very troubling to see him on the mound, and he does well for the opposing team as he gets rocked around quite a bit.
Well, if there's anything, like I'd mentioned to you before, he's definitely due to have a good game. ERA standing at 5.61. I mean, it can't get any worse, and if it does, it's not by much. So, you know, right now he's doing a stellar job. But, you know, again, they're in the fourth inning and no runs are given up.
And then in the NFL world, we've got preseason week number 3 coming at us this weekend. Who do the Oakland Raiders tackle with this week?
Well, you know, Oakland has the Chicago Bears coming in. And, you know, Oakland coming off of a very lackluster performance against the New Orleans Saints a couple of days ago. And, you know, I truly believe that there's a tremendous upside for the Raiders. The areas of improvement that they need are on both sides of the football, on the offense and the defensive line. Right now, being nicked up with injuries of such, you know, what Oakland has to concentrate on is how long can they keep the ball, you know, in time of possession. And if the offensive line can shore up some things a little bit, it'll make for a better showing and a better season for Matt Flynn.
And up here in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Lambeau Field, a Friday night affair, as the Seahawks take on the Packers. Of course, the first time since the Golden Tate game-winning, some would argue that, touchdown in Seattle last year, Monday Night Football. And now people in Seattle are wondering if Golden Tate should do a Lambeau leap on Friday.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about earlier about, you know, the starters playing a little bit longer going into the third game. I would think in this game, if I were the head coaches, I would pull my starters out early. You're talking about some venom from last year, from Refgate, I will call it. You know that Lambeau is going to be primed and ready and screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, for a little bit of vengeance. But, you know, yeah, it should be a great game.
Definitely getting closer to the regular season, and that is where we want to be. Week 1 of the NFL, a few weeks away. Got to get through a couple more preseason games first.
Yeah, you just want to stay healthy, and that's what I believe that these head coaches are looking at. They want to see their players getting back into shape, but more importantly, they want to see what some of the younger guys are going to do. This week is the week to where the roster goes from 90 to, I believe, what is it, 70, 75? So they want to get a chance to see, you know, which players are for real and get a chance to stay for another week and which players they need to let go.
And, Sean, I believe you're aware of this, but I may have to remind you that this is a huge week. This is a huge week for an up-and-coming basketball star, and you may have heard the name Devon Boyd, and he is going to be heading to college on a basketball scholarship off to Chaminade University in the horrible place that is Hawaii. How could they ever put a college on an island? It's almost like Alcatraz, I would think. You know, you're stuck on an island, and there's some beaches and some luau's, and you're going to escort your son to Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to chaperone him to Honolulu. You know, it's a tough job, but somebody has to do it. I'm very excited for him, though. Very excited for his opportunity to go ahead and shine. And, you know, we've raised an awesome son, and actually, you know, all of our kids, you know, we're raising our kids. They're just, it's just been great to see one after the other going to the next level. This is his chance to go over to Chaminade University, a private school on the island. And they do great things. They host the Maui Invitational, and they have a lot of the major colleges, NCAA Division I colleges that come over. And, you know, Chaminade has a great showing every year. Last year they beat Texas, University of Texas. A couple of years prior they beat Oklahoma. So they are, you know, a great basketball team. And my son going into this program, I couldn't be more happy for him, because I know that he's going to shine.
Well, congratulations to you and yours. Congratulations to Devon Boyd. And Devon, as we talked about in February, it's B squared, books and basketball, books and basketball.
No doubt about it. You know, books and basketball, not BQ, books, basketball, and babes. It's books and basketball. So stay focused on that, and you keep preaching that to them.
Hey, I'll do it big brother style. Well, it was great to have David Massey returning to the show tonight, as well as former NFL safety Nick Ferguson to help us out with show number 15 here on the Double with the Double S Express. And the next time we will talk to you, Sean Boyd, you will be in Hawaii.
Yes, you know, and so I wish that we could cue the Hawaiian music. Man, I you know, there's going to be grass skirts and luau's and all that cool stuff. And so I'll be taking pictures and everything. So you'll see all of that on our Twitters, on our Facebooks. But, yeah, it should be an exciting time.
All I want on next week's broadcast is a little bit of ocean wave.
Well, you know I'm going to bring you something back. So, you know, I can't go over there to the islands without bringing you something back.
I just want to hear the ocean on the broadcast. I'm not even asking for you to bring nothing back.
Well, yeah, so I'm going to find a spot here, you know, near Waikiki, and, you know, it'll be a fun time for sure.
And that is why we pay you the big bucks, Mr. Boyd.
That's right. That's right. To do the tough jobs.
Be sure to follow the Double S Express on Twitter so you can stay up on Sean Boyd's activities on the Hawaiian Islands at Double S Express, XPRESS, as well as check us out on our website, double-s-express.com, and like our Facebook page, Double S Express.
Yeah, you know, and definitely do all of those things. If you have any questions or new ideas, you can go on to those websites as well. If you want to email, you can send an email to Sean Wally at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com.
I think we have the waves I was asking for.
I was wondering what was going on, if you were washing dishes or what, but I love the slaps of the waves. If you want to send me an email as well, send that to Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com. Awesome work, Mr. Wally.
I cannot take credit. I can only take credit for the idea. That is all back at the station, BBS Radio. Don hooking it up here on the Double with the Double S Express. Getting you set for Hawaii a few days early.
Man, crack staff engineer Don Newsom, thank you very much. I knew you could pull it out.
Oh, goodness. What a way to end. Show number 15 in the books. Waves and all.
That's
and
right.
As Nick Ferguson said, the law firm of Sean and Sean, wrapping up on the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week with Sean Boyd in Hawaii.
Thanks for listening to On the Double. Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests on the Double, Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the